السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 72-76 today of Surah Al-Ma'idah. We'll start off with the word meanings. Beginning with ayah number 72. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد لا surely قد in fact كفر disbelieved or denied الذين those who قالوا they said إن indeed الله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa, he is alone. Al-Masihu, al means the, al is the, and Masih means Messiah. So huwa al-Masihu, he alone is the Messiah. Ibnu, son, Maryama, of Maryam, alayhi as-salam. وَقَالَ وَأَنْتْ قَالَ He said, الْمَسِيحُ أَلْ means the مَسِيح Messiah يَا بَنِي يَا O بَنِي children إِسْرَائِيلَ of Israel. And that was the title for يَعْقُوب عَلَيْهِ السَّلَام. So, O children of Israel or يَعْقُوب عَلَيْهِ السَّلَام اُعْبُدُوا. This is a command. And Isa alayhi salam, the Messiah, is addressing a lot of people when he's saying this because it ends in waw alif. So u'budu, you all worship. Ibadah is the root word, ayn ba dal, which means to worship. So u'budu, you all worship Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rabbi, rabb is the root word. And that means Lord, Master, Sustainer. And then the Ya at the end means my. So Rabbi, my Lord, Wa and Rabbakum, Rabb, Lord, Kum, yours. Innahu, Inna, indeed, Hu, He, Man, Hu, Yushrik. This word comes from Shirk. That's the root word, sheen, ra, kaf. And shirk means to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, man hu yushrik, he associates partners with Allah, billahi, bi means with Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa qad, fa then qad, in fact, harama, he made unlawful, or he made haram. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word Allah ends with a dhamma. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one doing something. So haram Allahu means Allah made haram. Allah made unlawful. Alay, upon, he, him. Al-jannata. Al means the and jannah, paradise. Wa and ma'wa, place of return. Hu, his. An-nar. Al means the nar, hellfire. Wa and ma nar li-zalimina. Li for al the zalimin, wrongdoers. Zulm is the root word and that means injustice. And zalim is somebody who is unjust. An ina ending makes this word plural. So, لِذَّالِمِينَ for those who do injustice. Min from أَنْصَار, any helpers. لَقَدْ, surely, in fact. كَفَرَ, disbelieved or denied. الذين, those who, قالوا, they said, inna, indeed, الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثالثu, is third, ثلاثة, of three. Wa, and, ma, not, min, from, إلهٍ, any god, illa, except, إلهٌ, god, واحد, one, or single. Wa, and, in, if, lam, did not, yantahu, they stop. Intaha means to stop. Ya, in the beginning, it tells us this word is in the third person, and the waw alif at the end of this verb means that this is plural. So lam did na yantahu, they stop or they cease. Amma, an, from, this is a compound word, so an and ma put together. An means from, ma, what, yakuluna, they say. Qul is the root word, and that means to say something. And ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yaquluna, they say, la yamassanna, la, surely, and mas means to touch. Ya means this word is in the third person, and the shadda on the noon at the end, the tashdeed, adds more emphasis to whatever's being said. So la yamassanna, surely it will definitely touch, or surely it definitely touches. Alladhina, those who, kafaru, they disbelieved, minhum, min, from, hum, them, adhabun, a punishment, alim, most painful. Afala, ah, why? Ah is used to ask a question at the beginning of the word. So ah, why? Fa, then, la, na, yatubuna, they repent. And tubuna, toba is the root word here, and toba means to repent. Okay, so ya in the beginning means the word is in the third person, and una ending makes it plural. So yatubuna, they do toba, they repent, ila, towards Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, yastaghfirunahu. Ghafara is the root word, and that means forgiveness. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending before the suffix hu at the end. There's una after yastaghfiruna. At the end of that, we see the word una. We see the ending una, and that means this is plural. And the scene after the ya at the beginning means to ask for something. So yes, taghfiruna, they seek forgiveness. Who? Him, from him. Wa, and, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghafurun, is all forgiving. Rahim, one always all merciful. These are both attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ghafara is the root word of ghafur, which means forgiveness. Okay, to cover, to forgive. And rahim, the word rahim, it comes from raham, which means mercy. Okay, so rahim, always all merciful. Ma, not. And we know that sometimes the word ma can mean that or what. But in this case, in ayah number 75, it means not, because we see the word illa shortly afterwards in the ayah. So whenever the word ma is followed by illa a little bit later, it means that the word has a negative meaning. So it means not. Al-Masihu, the Messiah, Ibnu, son, Maryama, of Maryam, alayhi salam, illa, except, Rasul, a messenger. Qad, in fact, khalat, past, min qablihi, min qabl, before, from before, he, him, ar-rusul, Al-Minsta and Rusul, messengers. This is plural. The plural form of the word Rasul, which means one messenger. So Ar-Rusul, the messengers. Wa Ummuhu, wa and Ummu, mother. Who, his, meaning Isa alayhi salam's mother, Siddiqah, a greatly truthful woman. Okay, this word comes from Siddiq, which means the truth. So she is described as Siddiqah, a truthful woman. Kana, they both were. So this word is not kana. It actually ends in an alif, right? There's an alif after the noon. So it has the dual meaning. Because in Arabic, there's singular, plural, and there's a dual tense. And this is dual. So kana, they both were. Ya'kulani. Ya'kul means to eat. Okay? And ani ending has the dual meaning. So ya'kulani, they both eat. Al-ta'am. Al means the, and ta'am, food. Unzur, look or see. This is a command. Kayfa, how. Nubayyinu, we make clear. Bayyin means something that is clear, something that's easily seen. Nu in the beginning means we. So nubayyinu, we make clear. Lahum, la, to or for, hum, them. Al-ayati, al means the, ayat, verses or signs. Thumma, then. Unzur, look or see. Anna, from where. Yufakun, they are deluded. Kul, say. This is a command again. Atabuduna, a means do. It's meant to ask a question at the beginning of the next word. Ta'buduna, abd, is the root word. And abd means a slave. And ibada actually is the root word here, and that means to worship. So ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So ata'buduna, do you all worship? And whenever an ayah starts off with kul, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, it's in the singular tense and it's a command. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to him, Kul, say, ata'buduna, do you all worship? Min duni, min from duni, besides Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma, that which, la, does not, yamliku, has authority or possesses. Lakum, la, for, kum, you, all of you. Dharran, dharran, any harm. Wa and la, nor, naf'an, any profit. Wallahu, wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa, he alone. As-sami'u, al means the, sami'u, comes from the word sam'a, which means hearing. So he is as-sami'u, the always all hearing. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next one as well, al-alim, the always all knowing. And this word comes from ilm, which means to know or have knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, he's the always all knowing. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start off with the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So today's lesson is connected to the ayat that we covered last week. So we're still talking about the Ahli Kitab. We are still learning about them. And they are the people of the book. Okay? And the Christians specifically are the ones we're talking about here, okay, that we're learning about in these ayat. Okay, so let's start off with ayah number 72. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله هو المسيح ابن مريم. Certainly, in fact, disbelieved those who said, indeed, Allah is Christ, the son of Mary. Astaghfirullah. They believe, na'udhu billah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended to the earth in human form, in the form of the Messiah, Isa bin Maryam. They say that he came to this world in human form as Isa alayhi salam. That's how they did kufr. They denied the truth, even though the Messiah, Ibn Maryam, told them something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here what Isa alayhi salam told them. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ. While Christ himself said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. SubhanAllah. So first of all, why did he say Ya Bani Israel? Not Ya Ayyuhannas. Ya Ayyuhannas means mankind, right? Oh, mankind. So why did he just say Ya Bani Israel? We should know this. That's because he was sent as a messenger only to the Bani Israel, not to all of mankind. Today, the Christians travel to all different parts of the world to preach Christianity, to call others to their religion. But their prophet, Isa alayhi salam, did not tell them to do that. He didn't tell them to call people to Christianity. Instead, he clearly said that he was sent to the Bani Israel only. So he said, O Bani Israel, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is your Lord and mine. He told his people to worship Allah, their Rabb and his Rabb. Now let's try to understand what the word Rabb means, because he said Rabbi and Rabbukum. Rabb means the master, the sustainer, the caretaker, the provider. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of and provides for everyone and everything in this whole universe. He makes the whole world go around. The sun, the stars, and so many galaxies. Everything. And he provides for all the things in this universe. That is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. And Isa alayhi salam said to his people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of him and he provides for him. Right? He said, Rabbi, which means my Lord, the one who cares for me, the one who sustains me, who nourishes me, who provides for me. He does not claim to be God himself. Isa alayhi salam never claimed to be God. He tells his people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sustains him. And Isa alayhi salam could not be a part of God when God is sustaining him, just like he sustains everyone else. And he told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them also and sustains them too. He told his people all this clearly, that he is not God himself. In fact, when he was born, the first thing Isa alayhi salam said when he spoke from the cradle was about this. And we know that Isa alayhi salam was able to speak from the cradle. It was one of the miracles that he was able to perform by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing he said to people was, Inni abdullah. Indeed, I am a slave of Allah. He did not say that he was God himself. Astaghfirullah. He clearly told them when he was a newborn that he was a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Isa alayhi salam told them straight out that Allah is their Lord and his Lord. This is what he's going to say on the Day of Judgment too. After what he told them, how can they say that Isa alayhi salam is God incarnate? Today, one sect of the Christians says that he is God in human form. Astaghfirullah. That God became human and took on flesh and lived among humanity as Isa alayhi salam. Astaghfirullah. But that's not what Isa alayhi salam taught them. After telling them to worship Allah, the one who is their Lord and his Lord, Isa alayhi salam said, Innahu man yushrik billah. Indeed, whoever commits shirk, whoever joins partners with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ, then in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deny him paradise. Now these are the ayat that we should tell the Christians about when we're doing dawah to them, when we're calling them to Islam, when we're trying to educate them. A lot of Muslims are afraid to do that because they don't want to offend them. They don't want to say such things to them. But we have to tell them this without being afraid of offending them. Because this is what the Quran says. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tells the truth. And we have to tell them the truth instead of hesitating. Because this ayah says that Jannah is haram for them due to them associating partners with Allah. They think that they're headed straight for Jannah. And they claim that Isa alayhi salam took their sins upon himself so they can do whatever they want in life without being accountable for their actions in the hereafter. They believe that they're going to enter paradise. But Isa alayhi salam told them that anyone who does shirk will not be allowed to enter paradise. Now, let's go over a few different ways that people do shirk, or how people associate partners with Allah. This is very important for all of us to understand because this is the basic thing, okay? The fundamental belief of Islam. We have to know what shirk is so we can avoid it at all costs. Either people do shirk in worship, or they attribute the traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other people or other things, or they do something for others that is only suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, prostrating before someone, praying to someone, or making dua to another besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all ways that people do shirk. These are rituals of ibadah, prostration, praying and making dua, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? These are all forms of ibadah or worship, the different ways to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these things cannot be done before anyone else besides Allah alone. So Isa alayhi salam said to them, whoever commits shirk with Allah, Jannah becomes forbidden for them. This should be clear to all of us, especially those Muslims who are so impressed by the Christians nowadays. And they say that they have such good manners and they're so nice, so they should go to Jannah. They may be wonderful people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that his messenger, Isa alayhi salam, told them clearly that whoever associates partners with Allah will not be forgiven. That person will not enter Jannah. There's no way. However, there is only one way, and that's if they repent in this life and they stop what they're doing. That's the only way they can be forgiven. We'll learn about that a little bit later, inshallah. But as for people who associate partners with Allah, if they die before repenting, they will not be admitted to Jannah. We have to know that. And it doesn't matter what they are, okay? Whether they're Jewish, Christian, Hindu, or even if they call themselves Muslims, it doesn't matter. They're considered mushrikeen, or the polytheists, if they associate partners with Allah. When Jannah becomes haram for such people, what's the only other option? The only other place they'll go to? Jahannam. There is no third option. It's either Jannah or Jahannam. Nothing in between the luxuries and blessings of Jannah and the torment of the hellfire. Okay? So they'll be thrown into Jahannam if they don't end up in Jannah. And that's really scary. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes Jannah haram for anyone who does shirk shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates it. He doesn't approve of shirk at all. So, my dear sisters, if there's anything that may have an element of shirk in it, even the slightest bit, please stay away from it. Even if it's a nasheed that we enjoy listening to and it's beautiful otherwise. Okay, if there's even one word in it that has an element of shirk, or a person's statement that includes shirk, we should disapprove of it. We should not like it or repeat it, even if we know that our intentions are pure. Okay, we can have pure intentions. We don't mean to do shirk, right? So a lot of people say they listen to nasheeds that have words in them that are connected to shirk. And they say, well, we have pure intentions. We know we're not listening for that reason. And we don't really, you know, focus on those parts. But why even listen to them? Okay, so just stay away from them. Avoid anything that leads to shirk, including statues that people keep at their homes to decorate their homes, or huge portraits of people that they use as wall hangings. We should avoid these things. And people may say that their intentions are pure and they just like them, so they put them up. But these are things that lead to shirk. Okay, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and do not even approach zina, do not even go near adultery. So that meant to refrain from all the things that lead to zina. Stay away from them. To not look at, listen to, say, or do anything indecent or immoral that may lead to adultery. That's how we have to stay away from all the things that can make people commit shirk. Even if you have the slightest doubt about something having an element of shirk, refrain from it. It's not sensible to even risk it, because Jahannam is guaranteed for anyone who commits shirk. And we want to protect ourselves against Jahannam. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ, and the wrongdoers will have no helpers. Who are the ظَالِمِين? People who do not fulfill their obligations towards others are ظَالِمِين. Those who don't fulfill the due rights of others. And people who don't try to fulfill their duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Him alone without associating any partners with Him, those people are the greatest of the ظالمين. Many times, people ask why certain groups of people will not go to Jannah. Just know that if someone commits shirk, that's the greatest injustice a person can do. And that's enough to get that person to Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, shirk is ظلمٌ عظيم. It's the greatest injustice. Okay, how can we associate partners with the one who created us, the one who sustains us every single second of our lives, and the one we're going to be returned to? People who are unjust in that way will never get out of Jahannam once they're thrown in it, because they died while committing shirk, while associating partners with their creator, their sustainer, their Lord. So we can't even think that they're going to end up in Jannah somehow. We shouldn't think that. And the people who don't fulfill the responsibility of believing in the last messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are also dhalimeen. Because after he was sent, everyone was supposed to believe in him and follow the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there will be no helpers for the wrongdoers. We learned from this ayah that one group of Christians believed that Isa alayhi salam was Allah himself. Na'udhu billah. They disbelieved when they said such a thing. They became disbelievers. Now the next ayah tells us what another group of the Christians believe. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Certainly disbelieved those who say Allah is one of the three in a trinity. They also hid the truth. Their belief in trinity can be in one of the two ways that we'll go over now, just to understand what it is that they believe. One of the ways is that a group of them says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Isa alayhi salam, and Maryam alayhi salam are all gods. That there's one in all three and all three in one. They can't even explain that concept, but they just follow this strange belief. And the second group says that Isa alayhi salam, that first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Isa alayhi salam and Ruhul Qudus are all gods. Na'udhu billah. And some say that Ruhul Qudus is angel Jibreel, and others say that it's someone else. But they made a triangle and they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the third of the three. Astaghfirullah. And why is it that they started saying that? We should look at why they started saying that so we can understand how they messed up their whole beliefs. Because they were influenced by Greek philosophy. Okay? Because it was at its peak at that time. So they thought of preaching Christianity to the Greeks. And the Greeks believed in multiple gods. So the Christians made up Trinity to kind of mold their religion to be able to convince the Greeks to somehow accept Christianity. Until then, they didn't have the concept of Trinity. That's when they started to say that Allah, Isa alayhi salam, and Maryam alayhi salam were gods. Na'udhu billah. That's how they started to mess up. Some say that Saint Paul was the first to start off the concept of Trinity. He had converted to Christianity from Judaism, and he had come up with this new belief, meaning Trinity. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but this is what we learn from the books. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lam yalid wa lam yulad, that he does not have parents. And neither does he have offspring. But they made him the third of three. Astaghfirullah. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ. And there is no God except one Allah. There is only one Allah. He is not the third of the three. He's the only ilah, the only God. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them in a very stern way. وَإِلَّمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ. And if they do not stop saying what they do, what is it that they say? What do they say? That Allah is the third of the three, the concept of Trinity. If they don't cease to say that, لَيَمَّسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. A painful punishment will definitely befall the disbelievers among them. What they do when they say that Allah is the third of the three is kufr. It's disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرْ. They disbelieved. Certainly they disbelieved. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Bayyinah too. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ Indeed, those who disbelieved from the people of the book, the people who claimed that Isa alayhi salam was the son of Allah, were Christians. They disbelieved. But there were also the Christians who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one and only God. And they believed that Isa alayhi salam was his messenger. They did not believe. Okay? But as for those of them who did kufr, who disbelieved, claiming that Allah has a son, and he is the third of three, وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ and the polytheists, فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا They'll live forever in the hellfire. أُولَٰئِكَ مِنْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ They're the worst of creation. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Bayyinah. How can Muslims say that the Christians deserve to go to paradise and should be admitted there after knowing about their disbelief? Sometimes it seems like Muslims are so concerned about Christians that they don't even care about where they're going to end up themselves. And they say that Christians are really good people, so they should go to Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ Those who did kufr in that way, who disbelieve saying that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah, or that Allah is one of the three, they are the worst of all creatures. What they say is outrageous. In Surah Al-Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if their statement, how they say that Allah has a son, was revealed upon a mountain, that mountain would crumble due to fear. Because of the enormity of their statement. It's like cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. It's really wrong. So Muslims should not be impressed by their manners and think that it's okay for Christians to keep saying Allah has a son. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to worry about them so much. Because he knew what would happen if they continued doing shirk like that. He tried to convey the message to them clearly, to try to save them from the ultimate loss in the end. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَأْسَ عَنْهُمْ Then do not grieve about them when they disbelieve. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him. Because they did disbelieve and he used to grieve over them because he worried about them so much. So we should also try our best to convey the message to them, just as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Convey the truth so they know what the Quran says. And even before that, we should present evidence from the Quran to convince them that the Quran is the true word of Allah. And it's never been changed. Then show them what the ayat of the Quran say. What Isa alayhi salam told his people. They should know what will happen if they keep associating partners with Allah. Because people who commit shirk will never be forgiven. So tell them to repent and stop doing shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites them to do that in the next ayah. So there's no reason for anyone to despair and think that they're doomed now because they've been committing shirk all throughout their life. It's not too late if they want to turn back to Allah. They still have a chance while they're alive. They can repent and turn back to accept Islam. Our dear Ustaza tells us about a woman in her 90s who reverted to Islam. And that woman asked, where had the Muslims been all throughout my life? Because she had been committing shirk her whole life. And she never learned about Islam until she was in her 90s. And she lived such a long life. But she never found out about Islam. So she asked the question that a lot of people will ask on the Day of Judgment. They're going to say, where were the Muslims? They never told us about Islam. So we have to do our work. And we have to care about people, care about humanity. So we can convey the message of Allah to them. So they can save themselves from fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them in the next ayah, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ. Will they not then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness? If they do turn to Him and seek forgiveness, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, always all merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and has mercy on people who turn back to Him and seek forgiveness. But they must turn back and seek forgiveness first. And then He accepts. Now, this ayah talks about two things, forgiveness and mercy, for those who do tawbah and istighfar. Right? So what is the difference between the two? Tawbah is the act of repenting, returning back. Okay? When someone does tawbah, they're turning back to Allah. They're repenting. And istighfar is to say it, to ask for forgiveness, to admit that we've done something wrong and ask Him for forgiveness. That's istighfar. Tawbah is when people reform themselves and stop that sin, whatever it is that they're caught up in. And to say it, to ask for forgiveness, along with tawbah, is istighfar. When someone commits a sin, he feels bad about it and stops doing it. Then he turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regretful, and he repents. He seeks forgiveness. So both of these things are necessary after sinning. Tawbah, which is to stop committing that sin, and istighfar, to ask Allah for forgiveness, to say it. But imagine if someone keeps doing istighfar. Okay, they keep saying, they keep admitting to Allah that, oh Allah, I made a mistake. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. They seek His forgiveness. But then they don't stop committing that sin. They don't do tawbah. If they don't do that, how can they be forgiven? Think about the example of someone who steps in mud. If they don't get their foot out, they keep sinking in further. That's what happens when people don't discontinue their sins. When they keep repeating that sin, they become increasingly trapped. So it's important to get out of that filth first and then do istighfar. And to continue doing shirk is akbarul kaba'ir, meaning the greatest sin out of all the major sins. That's why we should all know what shirk is, so we can avoid it. And shirk is very hidden. It sneaks in very slowly. And in hadith, it's compared to a black ant on a black mountain in a dark night. So it can't be seen. That's how shirk sneaks in. So we have to protect ourselves against shirk, against all forms of shirk. And riya, or showing off, is one of the forms of shirk, when we do things to be seen by people, so people will see what we're doing. That's shirk. And all the other ways that shirk is done must be avoided, whether it's shirk-e-aswar, which is the minor or the concealed shirk, or shirk-e-akbar, the major, the greater shirk. We have to avoid all types of shirk, and we must tell other people to stop doing shirk too. Many Muslims have gotten themselves caught up in shirk today. They believe that others have the power to grant them what they want, as well as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Astaghfirullah.
They go to the graves of saints and they make du'as there. And they claim that they make du'a to the saints. They invoke them for their needs, and then the saints will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them what they asked for. They rely on the saints for everything instead of Allah. Astaghfirullah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them blessings, they say that the saints gave them those blessings. That is shirk. Shaitan makes them think that they're true Muslims, even though they're clearly committing shirk. Shaitan deceives them into thinking that they're going to go straight to Jannah after death because they have read the Shahada. But they don't understand what is required of them after they read the Shahada, or what the Shahada actually means. They say such a great thing when they read the Shahada. If only they bothered to understand. مَلْ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولُ Christ, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly that the Messiah was no more than a Rasul of Allah. He was not a part of God or a son of God, as the Christians claim. Astaghfirullah. He didn't have any special privilege or any of the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Not even one of them. Because he was a Rasul. He was a messenger and nothing more. As we say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God except for Allah. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said here, Mal Masih ibn Maryama illa Rasul. The Messiah, son of Mary, is no more than a Rasul. Because of when the sentence is phrased this way, where the negative part comes first, either the la or the ma, meaning the Messiah is not anything but a Rasul in this sentence. That's what it means. It indicates that whatever is coming up is not true at all. Okay, it cannot be possible. So people cannot say that he was the son of Allah, the third of the three, or God himself. Nothing like that at all. He was a messenger, nothing more. Some Muslims also go overboard in reverence for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they get upset when we say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just a Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the messenger. They start arguing that he's the person, the one who is going to give us everything in the hereafter. Even though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said himself so many times, I am only an abd of Allah. I'm only a slave of Allah and a Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also called him his abd and his Rasul. Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. And Isa alayhi salam was also the Rasul of Allah. He was the messenger. He was sent with Allah's message for people. Just like so many other prophets were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They brought his message to people and they passed away afterwards. That's how Isa alayhi salam was sent as a messenger too. And he will pass away too one day. He was raised alive, but after he returns to this world, he will pass away, like all the other prophets did. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ In fact, many messengers had already passed away before him. He was a Rasul, just like all the other messengers. He was no different from them. He was not God. وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ And his mother was a truthful woman. So this proves that the Jews were wrong to accuse Maryam alayha salam of doing something wrong that Isa alayhi salam was born as a result of, because they were trying to slander her. They accused her of committing zina, astaghfirullah, and they were liars, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Isa alayhi salam's mother was a greatly truthful woman. So whatever she said was the truth. She was telling the truth. And we'll learn ahead, inshallah, in Surah Tahrim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Isa alayhi salam's mother confirmed the message of Allah. So she was a truthful woman. She confirmed the words of Allah. And who are the truthful people? What sort of people are truthful? Those who are the same in their actions and their words. They're truthful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Maryam alayha salam here for being truthful. So it means that it's a great character trait to have, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has especially mentioned it. And we know that that's one thing a Muslim cannot do, lie. Muslims must be truthful. They were known for this in the past, for being truthful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained here in such easy words that Isa alayhi salam could not be God, because he says that he had a mother. Anyone who has a mother who gave birth to him cannot be God. Isn't that common sense? Isn't that a clear proof that Isa alayhi salam was not God? It's so easy to understand that. Nobody can have a higher rank than God, right? But mothers have higher ranks than their kids. And Isa alayhi salam had a mother. So he could not be God when he had a mother. And obviously, anyone who's born will die. And Isa alayhi salam's mother gave birth to him. He will die. He cannot be God. God cannot die. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this to people in a very simple way, which is easy for anyone to understand. Even if they're not too intellectual or too educated. He says, كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They both ate earthly food, like other human beings. These three words, كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They explain simply that Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam could not be gods. And the alif at the end of kana tells us that this is in the dual form, this word. So it refers to both Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam. They both ate food. And what does that mean? Eating means that someone relies on food for survival. So they were humans. And eating is one of the basic needs for their survival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need food or water. Can anyone who relies on food and water to survive be God? Of course not. And anyone who has to eat to survive also depends on others to grow the crops, to cut the food, to harvest it and bring it to the market to cook, and then he or she can finally eat it after all these things happen. And after eating it, that person needs that food to be digested. If he can't digest it, it causes discomfort. And if it does get digested, then it becomes waste that his body needs to expel. If it doesn't leave his body, or too much leaves his body, he's uncomfortable. So just think about it. How can Isa alayhi salam be God when he was a human and so was his mother, and they ate food just like all the other people? And here we were learning about the Christians taking the prophet Isa alayhi salam as God, which is shirk and totally unacceptable. Astaghfirullah. But there are actually people out there today who have taken other people, ordinary people, to worship. Astaghfirullah. People properly worship them when they those people look evil. Okay, they clearly look so evil due to the curse, the lanat of Allah on them. They make people worship them, and people are willing to do it. But how can they do such a thing when those people are humans just like them? And then they die one day. Don't they understand that someone who depends on food and water to survive cannot be God? And someone who gets ill and needs medication cannot be God? And someone who's getting old and weak, how can they be God? Allahu Akbar. How can people be so deluded? And then there are others who prostrate before elephants and other things. When they do that, they're bowing before them, humiliating themselves. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made humans the best of creation, and He ordered mankind to only prostrate before Him, to only lower themselves before Him, nobody else. There's no need to do sajda before anyone or anything else. But humans are disgracing themselves when they prostrate before so many others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only told us to do sajda before Him, because He's the greatest one. We're only supposed to prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He didn't tell us to be slaves to others or bow before them. He honored us by instructing us to only worship Him. The Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the world. But what has mankind done to himself? He has made himself asfal as-safilin, the lowest of the low. Even animals know that Allah is their Lord, that He's their sustainer, and they glorify Him. Why can't humans understand? Allahu Akbar. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Unzur kayfa nubayyinu lahumul ayat." See how we make clear the revelations to them to know reality. He has clearly explained everything. So why don't they understand? ثُمَّ انْظُرْ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. Then see how they ignore the truth. They are so deluded. Even after finding out, they willfully choose to be ignorant. They don't stop committing shirk, even after finding out the truth. And this is about anyone who commits shirk in any way, in any form, whether it's people who worship or make dua to pious people who left this world already, who were humans just like them, with needs and troubles just like the rest of us, whether it's making dua to them or worshiping them, or people who worship other humans who are still alive, or idols that they make themselves, or other beings that are the creation of Allah. And the saints who passed away, about them, we should know that they were pious people, but they relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala themselves to feed them and provide for them. So how could they be God and provide for others? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained in simple terms how deluded people are when they associate partners with Him. And some people actually worship stones or other things too. And they claim that they were great people before who became whatever it is they're worshiping. So they're basically worshiping people too. Christianity has the greatest number of followers today, even though it doesn't make sense to worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Along with them, the people they call to their religion don't use their intellect either if they convert to Christianity. And people listen to them and believe what they say because Muslims, the ones who were actually assigned to the task of spreading the truth, conveying the message to mankind, they are being negligent. The Muslims are not doing their work. They don't bother to wake up and inform others about the truth because they're too busy working to acquire the gains, the wealth of this temporary life. And they're enjoying its luxuries. They're too caught up in all this. That's what they're concerned about now. Muslims are not doing their work, even though they are the ones who have the haqq. They have the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So others accept whatever they hear when they see Christians at their door, working hard to spread their religion. They're going around with their baseless belief and conveying that belief to people, convincing people to accept it because they don't know about the truth. And they never find out about Islam. Even some Muslims who don't know much about Islam end up listening to the Christians when they preach Christianity like that. And it's because they're only Muslim by name. They never bothered to learn or study Islam. They don't know anything about Islam. So they convert to Christianity, astaghfirullah, and then the Christians tell other people about their stories to promote their religion and make others accept Christianity too. Think about it. The Muslims who have already turned away from deen did it because they did not even know their own religion. They didn't know it well enough. They would have never done it if they had proper knowledge about Islam. If only they knew that they had the greatest treasure, but they never learned it. So they didn't know much about it. So we have to wake up and inform others. We have to do our part for the sake of our children, all the people around us, and the people who will come after us. We have to educate people about Islam so they don't turn to falsehood just because they don't know any other way. Otherwise, we are the ones who are going to be blamed for not doing our work. We're going to be held accountable. So we must take out that time to fulfill the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned us. قُلْ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرٌّ وَلَا نَفْعًا. Ask them, would you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala someone who can neither harm you nor benefit you? If we think about the Christians, they say that they crucified Isa alayhi salam. We don't believe that, of course. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up alive. But they say that they crucified him. And that's why they have the cross up in their churches and everywhere else. But even if they had been right, if he couldn't even protect himself from being crucified, how could Isa alayhi salam benefit them in any way or harm them? It doesn't make sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell people. He said, Qul. Okay, and then he told him to say to people that he had no power to harm or benefit anyone. And we don't say that he was God anyway. But the Christians say that Isa alayhi salam was. But how could a God not defend himself? And then how could he protect or harm them if he wasn't able to save himself? He could not be God. Besides Isa alayhi salam, any other false idols that people worship cannot be God either, because they cannot harm or benefit anyone. anyone min dunillah, anyone besides Allah that people worship. And if it's people that they worship, those people were not even able to fight off death. They died themselves after living a life full of problems. So how could they help others? Why do people not understand that? Shaitan deceives them into doing shirk because he knows that once they associate partners with Allah, they'll be in Jahannam forever. Then any other good deeds they do in life will not even matter. They won't help save them if they do shirk. So that's what he tries to make them do. Once people start thinking that others have the power to benefit or harm them, or once they start prostrating before others, shaitan succeeds. And in the former times, the ignorant people used to start worshipping those who they thought would benefit them in some sort of way. And they also started worshipping people that they were afraid of. That's why Hindus have so many gods. Some even worship snakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated humans to such a high rank above all these creatures and told mankind that he is Ashraf, and he ordered him to only do sajda before Allah. What's wrong with people when they worship anyone min dunillah? When people believe that others can benefit or harm them, when they're afraid of other people's reaction to the things they do when they practice Islam, they should remember that others do not have the power to harm or benefit them. Wallahu huwa sami'ul alim. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who hears all and knows all. He hears everything and He knows everything. So how can people turn to others who don't even hear or know anything? When people make idols and worship them, they say that it's not the actual statue they worship, it's just an image of the actual being they're worshiping. But they should know that whatever they're asking them for, those idols don't know or hear about it, and neither do those that they represent. So there's no way they can help them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about all our needs, all our problems. He listens to everything we say. Even if we don't say anything, He knows everything we feel and we think about. We can invoke Him from anywhere and ask Him for what we need without having to go anywhere. All we need to do is call the Sami'ul Alim. Allahu Akbar. There's a beautiful hadith explaining how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, explaining who our Rabb really is. One of the greatest mufassirin of the Quran, Ibn Abbas, was a young boy when he was fortunate enough to travel alongside Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, riding on a mount with him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed his young cousin and he said, "O young man, I shall teach you some words of justice. I shall teach you some words of advice." So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking to his young cousin Ibn Abbas, and he says, "O young man, I shall teach you some words of advice." And he beautifully taught him the whole aqidah of Tawheed, the fundamental belief, in such a beautiful, simple way. We should tell our kids these things too that we'll learn about now, so they remember the beautiful words of wisdom from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he continued saying to Ibn Abbas, "Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. Recognize and acknowledge Allah in times of ease and prosperity, and He will remember you in times of adversity. And know that what has passed you and you have failed to attain was not going to befall you and what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. And know that victory comes with patience, relief with affliction, and hardship with ease. SubhanAllah. That is Allah, the one who has all the power to benefit and harm. He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing, the one who has absolute control over everything. SubhanAllah. How beautifully Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his young cousin the most important life lessons. Once we really understand and believe the things this hadith tells us, we won't be afraid of anyone. And we won't worry too much about pleasing everyone or be afraid of others being upset with us. Then we would only fear Allah and only worry about pleasing Him alone. Isa alayhi salam told people that Allah is his Lord and theirs. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also told people, he was told to ask people if they worship others who have no power to benefit or harm them. And he was told to ask them that so they would realize what they were doing wrong. So the prophets did not call people to worship them. And another thing we must remember, no messenger or saint has the power to benefit or harm anyone. If any of us does believe that, they're committing shirk or associating partners with Allah. So they have to change that mindset and do istighfar before it's too late. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته